This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God. It is another beautiful day. Thank you for tuning into Global Radio. Today, I want to share with you part four of Jack Chick's interview with Dr. Rebecca Brown and the former Bride of Satan, Nurse Elaine. This is in the book called He Came to Set the Captives Free. But today we're going to continue with this interview as prepared for our radio audience. So, let's go. Dr. Brown and Nurse Elaine.
Inkling of what Jesus was all about was this young woman doctor. And I kind of held on like a kid does to his mama's apron strings for a long, long time. And I really felt bad about it, but at the same time, I felt glad because I felt like finally I found somebody who can help me. But again, nobody told me I couldn't beat the socks off this guy with my witchcraft. They didn't tell me I had to pray for him, not beat him up.
And boy, was it stretching those apron strings. The longer I was associated with Elaine, the more obnoxious the demons got through her, the more desperate they were in their attempt to drive me away. And I was getting so frustrated, and I would reach the point and I'd make up my mind, I'm going to discharge this patient in the morning and tell her there isn't anything else I could do. And then the Lord would permit Satan to tempt me, and I would fall flat on my face and fail and have to go crawling back to Father with my tail tucked between my legs and ask his forgiveness. And then he'd say to me, "Now, you see the patience I have to have with you? Can't you extend that kind of patience to my child, Elaine?" And so I would say, "Yes, Lord, please put your love in my heart for this woman, because she is certainly unlovable." But the problem was, I was never given the opportunity to ever really speak to Elaine herself. I was only speaking to the demons without knowing it. So finally, after she was in the hospital going on 2 months, I got really serious and I spent one whole weekend, 48 hours, in fasting and prayer, asking God for the key to her case. And at the end of that time, the Lord spoke to me and told me that I had not investigated her deep occult involvement. And it was the following morning then that I went in. I remember I sat down on the edge of the bed and told Elaine that there was something else that we hadn't discussed. And she said, "Oh, what's that?" And I said, "Your deep occult involvement."
And I just about fell off the bed because I couldn't figure out how she found out. And again, all of a sudden, you know, the signals go up and you go on guard and you're not sure where she stands. You're not sure if she really is a Christian now or if she's one of those witches that you've helped implant in a church somewhere that is trying to get a hold of you and turn against you. But there was still something special about her. She put me in the mind of those beautiful ladies back in that little storefront church who did all that praying, and they knew what I was, but they loved me anyway. And this was the kind of love that she showed me.
Well, I could tell that Elaine was really scared, and so I told her that I had spent the weekend in fasting and prayer, and that Father had revealed it to me. And I also told her that she must begin to confess these involvements one by one and ask the Lord to forgive her and to close the doorway and to take all of this away from her. And I met absolute and total resistance. And finally, I didn't know what to do because she was just so resistant. And finally, I said, "Well, I can't handle you. I just can't handle you, but I know who can." And I prayed with her right then and there. And I asked the Lord to take Elaine in his hands and to handle her.
And he did.
When I came in the next morning, she said, "Don't you ever pray that way again." But I prayed that way with Elaine every day from that point on. And she began to grow spiritually. And we finally began to get some of her physical problems cleared up. And then the time came when she was discharged from the hospital. I continued to see her on an outpatient basis for about another month. And then the cult lowered the boom. And I received a letter in the mail from, it was the cult, and so did Elaine. And the letter that I received detailed all of my activities for the 2 weeks prior to the writing of the letter, right down to what I had purchased at the grocery store, what time I went to bed at night, what time I got up in the morning, my address, my phone number. They knew everything about me, and they told me that if I ever had any contact with Elaine again, that I would be used for the Black Mass, the Easter sacrifice, which was coming up in about 3 weeks' time. It was in the spring, just before Easter. And they told Elaine in her letter that if ever she had any further contact with me, and that if she didn't go back and repent and return to worship Satan, that they were going to use her as a sacrifice. And Elaine called me up, very upset, and said that she wouldn't be seeing me anymore because of it. But I told her that I had to take this matter to Father in prayer and see what his guidance was. Father was quick to answer me. He told me that I must get Elaine and move her into my home with us because she would commit suicide rather than fall into the hands of the cult, that her faith wasn't strong enough yet. Her husband had left her. He remained in the cult. Her daughter, she had left with her stepsister during the period of time she was in the hospital. So we left the daughter with her stepsister at that time in order not to bring her into the dangerous situation. But I had a roommate living with me at the time, and I had to tell her about what was going on. And she was so scared that she moved out for almost a month before coming back. But the Lord gave me two scriptures that he quickened to my heart. The first one was in the second epistle of Timothy, the first chapter, verse 14, where it says, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." And the Lord just told me that Elaine was a good deposit given into my hands, and that I must keep her safe. Of course, the first thing I asked the Lord was, "Will you keep us safe?" And his answer was, "That is my decision to make. You have been praying for 2 years now to stand in the gap for this area, and I have put you in the gap for this area. And what will be the result of that is my decision. But regardless, you are to support your sister's faith until the end, whichever it be." He also quickened to my heart the scripture where Jesus said, "No greater love hath a man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friend." I'll be honest with you, Jack, I was so afraid. I was just ill with fear, because you remember I had seen what the cult could do. I saw that young minister, and I saw how he was tortured, and I couldn't face the prospect of being tortured in such a way myself. And by this time, I had truly grown to love Elaine, and I couldn't face the prospect of seeing her tortured either. But somehow I just had to trust that the Lord would give us the strength not to deny Jesus, no matter what the cult did to us. And after 2 days of anguishing, I finally got honest with the Lord, and I threw myself prone on the floor face down in front of Father and just cried and asked the Lord. I told him, I said, "I'm so frightened, and yet even though I can't bear the thought of facing that kind of physical torture, I can't bear to deny Jesus, and I know that if I disobey you, that I will be denying Jesus, so please help me." And somehow or other, I don't know what the Lord did, I really wasn't any less afraid, but he gave me the strength to go ahead and be obedient, and I went and got Elaine and moved her into my home. And as I say, my roommate moved out, although she did move back in again about a month later.
Rebecca, you had a real hot potato in your hands. Did you call anyone for help?
No, there really wasn't anyone to call. I did call one minister of a church that I had been attending locally in that city, and he just promptly told me that he didn't want to be involved in anything like that. By that time, I knew that the mayor of that town and the chief of police, as well as many of the policemen, were Satanists, so I couldn't go to the police for help. I was afraid to go anywhere in my hometown for fear of bringing my parents into it. So we just stood. I told Elaine that I really felt this was a spiritual battle, that there was no way that we could fight against so strong and well-armed an army as Satan had. There isn't any place where you can run to escape from Satan. And I know we stood on the story of King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles. But during that 2 weeks, we had to wait. The cult was furious, and they let us know in no uncertain terms that they were furious, that with all kinds of harassment. They shot holes in the walls of our house. They threw rocks through our windows at night. They'd come and bang on the side of the house at night. They sent us other threatening letters. We got threatening phone calls all during the night, during that two-week waiting period. But we just stood firm and waited. I told Elaine that I was sure that no matter what happened, that somehow the Lord would give us the strength not to deny Jesus, even if they did sacrifice us to the very end. But whatever the end was, we would meet it together.
You know, during this time too, Jack, it was a struggle for me, because there was a temptation to go back, because I knew if I did, they would probably leave her alone, because I hadn't really told her anything yet, and they'd find that out soon enough. But also, I knew down deep in my heart that I could not do that, because I couldn't tolerate the Satanists anymore. I couldn't tolerate witchcraft and all this anymore. Something was wrong with it. I wanted something better. And they kept telling us over and over and over that if we thought our God was going to save us, we were surely wrong. And I couldn't understand why they were so upset over a God they said was dead in the first place. Things just didn't level out for me. But I was scared to death. I was afraid for Rebecca, because I knew that if they got a hold of her, that they would torture her and myself unmercifully. And I'd seen so much of what they had done and heard so much about it and everything, that I just could not bring myself. I had come to love her so much, I couldn't bring myself to the point where I could accept seeing her do that.
But the one thing I kept emphasizing to Elaine was that we had to be obedient to the Lord, that Jesus was not only her Savior, Jesus was also her Master, and that obedience was the first rule. We had to be obedient. Finally, the day of the night when the cult was supposed to come and get us, I was sitting in the library of the hospital, and a Christian medical student whom I knew walked by and dropped a little card in my lap, and on it contained the very verse that I had been standing on, and it said, "The battle tomorrow is mine and not yours, saith the Lord. Simply take up your position and stand firm and watch to see the victory that Jehovah your God shall win for you." And it was at that point that I knew for the first time the Lord would keep us safe. I can never express the emotion that went through my mind and heart. And I went running after this girl, and I said, "Why did you give me this verse?" And she told me, she says, "I really don't know why. I feel kind of silly doing it, but the Lord has been steadily telling me for the last 3 days I had to give you that verse, and today I finally decided to be obedient and give it to you." And the Lord did keep us that safe. That night, the cult did not come for us. We were in absolute peace, and God fought the battle for us, and they did not come and get us.
We were sitting and listening to albums, beautiful Christian records. The first time I really ever got to really hear Christian music, beautiful Christian music. And the Gaithers came on, and the clock started to strike midnight, which was the hour that they were to come and get us. And all of a sudden, they began to sing, "It Is Finished." And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and there was no one there. No one came to get us. And I realized for the first time that Jesus Christ was more powerful than Satan, that he could and did have the victory, and that I didn't have to be afraid anymore, and that I could stand up and say, "Satan, you're lost. That's it. You're the loser. I'm never coming back. That's it." We went to bed and we slept in peace.
Now, we found out that you had to face that awesome night when Satan was sending all of his troops against you, and he had designed that both Rebecca and Elaine be used as a human sacrifice, and it didn't work, and God intervened, and he saved you both, and I praise God for that. All right, let's go on, Rebecca. Tell the listeners now what happened after this night had passed.
Yes, Jack, that was really just the first step. There was much more to come, and from this point on, the Lord moved extremely rapidly in my life. The first thing he did was directly challenge me and ask me if I would be willing to commit my life to him, to be used in any way in which he chose to directly combat Satan, and to enter a ministry in bringing people out of occult involvements, which is extremely heavy spiritual warfare. I, up until that point, had very carefully planned my medical career. I loved the field of oncology, which is taking care of cancer patients. I had intended to specialize in that after I finished my training in internal medicine. I had been accepted to an extremely prestigious training program about 1,000 miles away from where I lived. But the Lord indicated to me that if I chose to do his first will for my life, and that was enter into this ministry, that I would have to give up my career goals to go into oncology and set up a much more general practice close to this satanic community in order that God could bring to me those people that needed help. But the Lord also made it very clear to me that within a certain amount of time, and he didn't tell me how long, of course, I would have to eventually lay down my medical career altogether and enter full-time into this ministry. He also made it clear to me that I would be persecuted, that I would experience much hardship, that I would lose my family, which I have, my entire family. But most of all, he made it plain to me that he would walk with me through all these trials. And I can tell you in truth, Jack, before we go on to tell what happened, I have come to know the Lord personally through all of this in a way that I never could have any other way, I don't believe. And that's what treasure in heaven is all about. Yes. It's a personal knowledge of the Lord, and nothing can be compared with the worth of that knowledge.
Yes.
I agonized over that decision for about a week, and I made the decision. I committed myself to God to be used in that way. I counted the cost as best I could, and then I just had to trust the Lord from that point on that he would provide the grace to see me through whatever would come. Elaine also during this time was agonizing with precisely the same decision. God had challenged her with the same decision, and she certainly had a lot at stake because she knew that she would be a hunted person all the rest of her life, especially if she entered into a ministry of exposing Satan and the way that he works. So we were really both struggling, although we didn't talk to each other about it at that time very much. I wrote to the program and canceled out, told them I would not be coming. Within a week of my making that decision, I lost every friend I had. It was absolutely incredible. Up until that point in time, I had been considered the top resident at the hospital. I was, I had great favor in the eyes of the physicians there. I had a number of friends with the other residents and interns and nurses on the staff by that time. Every one of them turned against me.
Now, was this because you were being obedient to the Lord? Now, the Lord told you to take Elaine and move her into your home. Was this the upshot of this?
Well, the remarkable thing, Jack, is many of these people didn't even know I had Elaine in with me. Satan was just straight manipulating them.
He was
putting thoughts in their minds and their hearts against me, and they bought it. It shows, you know, Jesus talked about how he couldn't trust himself to men because they're so fickle. And that's exactly the way it was. But the biggest thing was the instant I turned down that prestigious position.
Oh, they started to have doubts about you.
That's exactly right. And you see, they would say, why aren't you taking it? And my only answer could be, it's not God's will for my life at this point. And then they would say, how do you know? And my answer would be, because God told me so.
And then they freaked out, right?
That is correct. In fact, within a year, the leaders of my program, because of my stand in saying that the Lord communicated with me, tried to have me thrown in a mental institution. They were not successful because they, you know, they could not prove that I was crazy.
Yes.
But just because I took a stand in faith, and I can imagine what the prophets went through in the Old Testament days to stand up and say, God spoke to me and told me this or that, that's a tremendous step in faith.
Yes.
Also, the minister of the church, I had been attending a Christian church there locally in town regularly, and Elaine had been going with me. He called me up and told me that if I didn't get Elaine out of my house, that I couldn't come back to the church again. This was in the town where the training center was. My parents called me and told me that I should get rid of Elaine, just out of the blue. My roommate was pressuring me that I should kick Elaine out, that she didn't like her, that I was being unwise to bring her in. And then, of course, Elaine's daughter came to live with us, and my roommate very much disliked that.
How old was Elaine's daughter, Rebecca?
She was about 12 years old at that time. After all of this happened, it was during the time all of this was happening, Satan began to attack mightily in the spirit realm as well. I had felt that Elaine was demon-possessed, but I wasn't totally sure.
You mean even after she was saved?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, we mentioned in the earlier some of the things that transpired about Man-Chan.
Right, Man-Chan.
He was subdued, wasn't he?
Yes, he had to back down. Mm-hmm. And Elaine could begin to gain some control of him, but not all the time. But you see, as Elaine took a stand, and as she grew in the Lord, it was like the Holy Spirit was working, and the demons just couldn't stand it in there anymore. Mm-hmm. And it was forcing them to the surface. And it's really a taking of the ground, a taking of the land, step by step, just like the children of Israel had to take the mm-hmm. land of Canaan, step by mm-hmm. step. They didn't take it all in one sweep.
Elaine still practicing witchcraft, even though she had become a Christian and she wasn't even aware of this?
She was, in order to defend herself, to keep herself alive. But you see, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Elaine still obviously had a great deal of fear, and there was a lot of things she hadn't confided in me. And I discovered for sure that the demons were in there one day when suddenly Man-Chan surfaced, and he managed to gain control of Elaine's body and mm-hmm. attacked me and tried to kill me with
a butcher knife.
Physically with her body attacked me. And the Lord just gave me instant knowledge that this was a demon. I was just terrified. But I knew by then that I must just stand in the name of Jesus, and that's exactly what I did, and gained triumph over him, and again he had to back down.
Now this is incredible information. Most people aren't even aware of anything like this even going on.
Right, and then it was a step-by-step occurrence. We had an 8 weeks battle with the demons in Elaine. You see, I took Elaine down to my home church with the pastor there, and we had an initial deliverance session that mm-hmm. lasted about 8 hours.
Now, this was the pastor that had prayed for you.
That is correct. The same pastor who had prayed for me, because
he was into deliverance ministry.
Yes, he was very knowledgeable about mm-hmm. that sort of thing. But he had never dealt with anyone who had been so deeply involved in the occult as Elaine. Mm-hmm. We had an 8-hour deliverance session. We kicked out several hundred demons. But the thing of it is, at that time, we were not knowledgeable enough with someone that deeply involved to know all the doorways to close. And if you just, you know, if you leave one demon in, then he's going to hold the doorway open and all the others will come back in. And that's exactly what happened. All the demons were back in within a week.
So the key is closing the doorways, isn't it?
Yes. The key is cleaning the person out totally and completely all at once. And then the house is swept clean.
All right, now, what happened? Did your home turn into a nightmare at this point?
Yes, we were literally in an Amityville situation, because not only were the demons surfacing through Elaine, and God permitted this for my training,
mm-hmm.
but also the cult was attacking us with everything they had. They were sending demons into my home. They were astral projecting in.
Now, did you have furniture flying around?
Yes. It was nothing for me to be grabbed at night if I went to bed and be pulled out of the bed and thrown across the room against the wall. We were bruises
Good
from
night.
Head to toe.
It was like a battlefield.
Yes, it was. It was nothing to have a chair come flying across the room. At first...
It was just like the stuff you see in the movies then,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, and at first I was sitting there saying, I'm surely having a hallucination. But as soon as I began to realize, no, this is for real, then as I would begin to say, stop in the name of Jesus and use the power and authority available to me in the name of Jesus, I could halt these things. But one thing
you
is
You mean
to,
this the stuff that was astral projecting through the air then?
Right,
uh-huh.
Right, yes. I had an 8 weeks battle with the demons in Elaine until finally I had learned enough. And it was during that period of time that the Lord showed me, revealed direct revelation that Elaine had been using her witchcraft because she didn't know any other way. She had not been trained. Mm-hmm. No one had told her any other way to defend herself. And I remember we had to come to the point of Elaine getting down on her knees and praying out loud with me, asking the Lord to take away all of her abilities of witchcraft and to take them away so completely that if ever she were to rebel and to try and regain them, that she could not. Now, that was a big step for
Elaine. That was scary for her because that was her only protection at that time, wasn't it?
That's correct. That's correct. But that step had to be taken, and every witch that comes out of witchcraft has to take that step.
And that's the one thing they don't want to lose. Probably the one reason they went into witchcraft in the first place was to gain power, and they realized by going this direction they're going to lose all their power.
That's right? Correct. That's yeah. Correct.
Well, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Only I didn't really lose power that I didn't have in the first place. It wasn't mine. It was Satan's. It was the demons. They were using me. I was not using them. That's something that witches and warlocks and these people have to understand, that this power that they crave so much doesn't belong to them. They're just being used. But the power I got by denying the power of Satan and claiming the power of Jesus Christ was a million times fold that of Satan. I mean, he gave me everything my heart desired. Love, companionship, hope. I had food and clothing and everything I needed because I claimed Jesus as my Savior. The needs that I really needed in my life. I'd be sitting and reading God's Word, and I was really, really reading it for the first time in my life, really understanding what I was reading, really mm-hmm. reading it, and I was loving it. And I'd be hearing, you know, putting on good records, good Christian music that I'd never really heard before, mm-hmm. although I'd heard it, but, you know, you really begin to hear and see and know.
Mm-hmm. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
And all that story is told in my first book, He Came to Set the Captives Free.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. If you are interested in purchasing books, Dr. Rebecca Brown, you can log on to www.harvestwarriors.com. Once again, that's www.harvestwarriors.com.